Boker Tov, good morning. We are continuing Masachet Sota. We left off at the bottom of the page on Bet Amud Bet, about five lines on the bottom of the page. Where did you guys get up to? You guys know? We're going to go to the middle of Gimel Amud Aleph. Today's class should be for the Hatzlacha of Etan Moshe Ben Miriam, and the should be for the Refuah Shlama Ba'al Cholim, and Bichlam. Okay. Amar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish comes and says, we're five lines on the bottom of the page on Bet Amud Bet. Ma Lashon Kinui. What is the Lashon, the language of Kinui, right? We said Kinui is warning. So where did this Kinui language come from? So the Gemara says, Davar Hametil Kina Bena Leben Acherim. It's something that one places anger between him or her and others. What does that mean? Can you guys explain that to me? Kina over here means anger, kina. How do you explain that?
Whenever you warn your wife not to hang out with this guy and the guy doesn't know about it, they're just going to be like confused, like, why is he not talking to me? And then they're going to cause anger.
Oh, because beautiful, not very good. So the Gemara says, Alma, we see, kasavar kinui al pi atzmo, that kinui, if You would think that you would hold like the shita that you can warn on your own testimony. Who is that shita that we said that you can warn with one witness?
Rabbi Elazar.
No. Ah, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Very good. Very good. So you can warn with one witness. Vekule alme lo yadi dekanila. Since you warned by yourself, nobody else was there, so nobody knows you warned. Only you do. Ve'amri mai dekama deka badla. What's going on here that she's separating herself from us, that she's not coming in public with us, she's not hanging out with us. What's going on here? He says, right? And then va'atu le'me'abad kina be'ada. Then they're going to start getting angry and start fighting with her.
What does me'abad mean?
To make. They're going to create anger amongst her. So Rashi says, let's go look at Rashi. Kina, kaas. It's explaining the word kina means anger. Kmo hem kinuni belo el. He brings a few different psukim that show that kina is anger. Then Rashi says, "Mai dekama, mai yesh lefanenu? What's in front of us? Ma era achshav shezo bodelet mina anashim? What happened now that this woman is separating herself from the men, from the other people? Why is she not like? Imagine somebody becomes frum and then they stop hanging out with you, stop hanging out with the non frum group, or the vice versa.
Wait, someone, isn't this different though?
No, it's very different. You're right. You're 100% right. You're right. It is very different. It's 100% different. But I'm saying in the perspective wise, like, what's happening here? Why are they not hanging out with us? Nachon, you're right. 100%. It's different. You have to be careful. You have to know who you hang out with or nothing. That's for sure. 100%.
No, I'm saying if it's someone's wife and another man, then it's...
No, who's saying anything about a wife and another man? We're saying the guy warned her. And nobody knows that he warned her. And now this woman... She has a lot of these things going on. So, I mean, this is another question. Another question is, why is she not going and hanging out with other people?
Is she or is she not?
She just can't hang out with that man.
Why is she going?
We say, other people are coming and saying that, hey, why de kama de kabatla? Why is she not coming next to us? Why is she separating herself?
It's not necessarily a man. It's just anyone in particular.
Right. Yeah, saying, why is she not coming hanging out with us?
Maybe she's super good. Maybe she's being careful not to be seen with these other guys.
Oh, very good, right? So they come and the husband warns her and says, don't go out with this man. And now all of these like family friends or whatnot, they're like, why isn't she coming out with us? She's taking extra precautionary measures. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Exactly. So therefore, that's why this is happening. So the Gemara says, V'rav Yemar. Oh, sorry. The next Rashi. Rikule alma loyadi dekan. Wait, no, this is the next one. Sorry, no, that's the next one. The Gemara says, V'rav Yemar bar Shelemia mishmei d'abaye amar. Rav Yemar, the son of Rav Shlemiyad, who said in the name of Abaye, he came to say, "Davar hametil kina beno levena," something that's placing anger between him and her, between who and her,
the husband and his wife.
Oh, very good, between the husband and the wife. Is he coming to agree, disagree, or has nothing to do with the previous opinion?
He's coming to add on to it.
He's disagreeing. He's disagreeing,
it's
right?
It's
all similar words.
He agrees that it's chaos, but he disagrees.
Okay, but on the essence of what is happening, he's saying He's causing anger between husband and wife versus wife and others. So he's disagreeing. Now, how do we know? Before I even got to the answer, how do I know he's disagreeing? There's actually an important rule in Gemara. Usually, if the Gemara says, the Gemara can bring a few different names of people with giving their own shitot, and the only and really one of the ways you can figure out if the next shita is disagreeing, right? If he says Amar first or Amar after the name.
Amar's after the name.
Oh, so if you say Amar after the name, then usually means that he's disagreeing with the previous opinion. If you say Amar bi Chia, he's not necessarily disagreeing; could just be stating something extra. So this is an important rule that if you say Amar after, you can recognize that he's actually about to come disagree. I'll show you that as we go through. You'll see that many times. It's not
like
it's
the name
a,
of
it's
someone?
A consistent. He says Rav Yemer Bar Shlaim Bar Rav Shlaim Mishmei Dabei Amar. It says Amar after the name, so therefore it's disagreeing. So the Gemara says Alma. What do we see from this? Kasavar. He holds kinoy al pishnayim edim, that warning needs to be on by two witnesses. Who is the shita? Oh, Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah. Very good. And also Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi alma yadi dekanila, because there's two witnesses, everybody knows that he warned her. Ve'ihu hu de'ate le'me'abad kina be'hada, and he is going to come to make anger amongst her. So first question is okay. He warns her. He knows there needs to be two witnesses, so there's two witnesses. Then it says, everybody knows that he warned her. How does everyone know that he warned her?
There's witnesses going to spread the word.
Oh, very good. So Rashi says, V'kulei alma yadi dekanela, shahayedim migalin hadavar. The witnesses reveal it. Ve'inan sonin ota. And they don't hate her. What is Rashi saying?
Oh, he's saying that he's responding to the other opinion, that if there's two witnesses, then they're going to reveal it, and people aren't going to be angry at her. For not speaking
say
to
again,
her.
What do you mean?
Others aren't going to be angry at her for not speaking to her.
Just the husband.
Hold on. The witnesses reveal the matter. And the witnesses don't hate her. Why would the witnesses hate her?
They're doing it for her.
She stopped talking to them, huh?
Explain further.
So she doesn't hate others?
What do you mean?
Meaning, so she.
What do you mean she doesn't hate others?
The others don't hate her.
Why would the others hate her?
She stops talking to them. Like before, it's saying that if she stopped...
Oh, very good, very good. So Rashi is saying, Ve'inan soninota means, you would think, why would witnesses who saw a man warn the wife go and reveal to other people that the husband is warning the wife not to go with another man? That's a little bit, something suspicious. Why would we want to spread that? You may come to think, this is the depth of my mind, Rashi, you may come to think that they hate her and that's why they're spreading it. The opposite. They love her, so they're telling other people, hey, you should know if something like this happens, if she stops coming talking to you, understand why. He warned her. That's why. Mm-hmm. So they're really, that's what Rashi is saying. Or else it's random. Why is he mentioning they don't hate her? No, they don't hate her. Meaning, I would have thought they hated her because they're going and spreading something about her. No, the answer is no. A lot of times you can spread something about someone, but it's for a good thing and that's how you show you love them.
So it's not like for her.
No, it's definitely not Lashon Hara. It's not anything bad. You're not saying anything bad, so it definitely doesn't fall into Lashon Hara.
You're saying that someone warned, like, a man warned her husband not to sleep, his wife not
to sleep.
A man
warned a wife.
A man warned her not to be secluded with someone else. How is that not Lashon Hara?
Well, also, his opinion holds that it's Asur.
Okay, yeah, let's get there. One second. Okay, so hold on. Let's keep moving.
And also, we're talking about
one second.
People also.
And then she's going to come to do anger. He's going to come to do anger with her. Shezo maknitato al shechoshda. What does that mean? From the fact that he is warning her, what does that cause in the relationship?
Tension.
That causes a lot of tension. A lot of tension. Now, so Rashi is saying it's causing tension. Why is it causing tension? She's saying, hey, look, he's warning me. It's causing a lot of tension on a relationship. And now, because you're warning me and you're suspicious about me, now it causes a lot of friction in our marriage. And they come and start getting into fights. The Gemara says, Alma, what do we see? Kasavri da'asur likano. Do you see from here that it's forbidden to warn? This is like that Tana. Where did we see that Tana? Do you remember?
In the
first Amud, right? What was that opinion? How did we learn it? Where do we see that?
The Tana that wrote it, he said Hamekana.
Oh, very good. So our Mishnah started with Hamekanele. So someone who, if someone warns his wife, why does it say if someone warns his wife? Because it's better not to. You're not supposed to, like our Tana said. This is that same Tana. So you see that we hold that it's asur to warn. Rashi says, what does it mean asur to warn? Kevan da amri lashon hatalat kinahu. since we're saying it's a lashon of putting anger, alma asur. So you see that you cannot place anger amongst people.
What
is that? Atalat, to like put, to place. Uleman damar mutar lekanot mai lashon kinoi. Okay, so now this is Gemara's next question. Hold on, we have a machloket if you're allowed to warn your wife or not allowed to warn. If we say that kinoi is anger, it makes a lot of sense. You're not allowed to be angry. The Rambam actually says, zero. You're never allowed to be angry. The only anger you're ever allowed to show is on the outside to teach someone a lesson, but never on the inside. So if you're never allowed to be angry, then how is warning ever permitted? So according to that other Tana who holds that you're allowed to warn, how would you be allowed to warn? You're instilling anger in a relationship. This is the explanation to the next question. Because you might wonder, why is he asking? So he's saying, Man da amar mutar likanot. The one who says you're allowed to warn, ma lashon kinoi. What is the lashon of kinoi? Meaning, according to that opinion, what does kinoi mean? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, ein kinoi ela lashon hatra'a. Kinoi over here means warning. V'chen hu omer, that's why the pasuk says, v'yikane Adonai le'artso. Right? This is a pasuk in Yoel. V'yachmol al amo. That over here, it's talking about a type of warning that Hashem warned the Am Yisrael, right? I think Rashi explains it. So hitra beyelik v'chasil v'gazam shelo yashchitu od et arzo. He warned them not to cause any more destruction to his land. The v'shiluach govai mishtae parasha le'el le'arzo al arzo. When it says le'arzo in the pasuk, he's warning them on the land, meaning don't cause any more destruction to his land. Kmo v'yishalu anshe hamakom le'ishto. It says al ishto. When it says le ishto, it means on his wife. Ha'atem terivun la'baal. All of these different pesukim that are referencing to how sometimes it says le, it really means al. So what he's trying to show you is vaykane. The word kinoi can also mean warning. So he says that the word kinoi does not mean kina, which is anger, rather means warning. And that's how that I would explain it. Very good. Tanya, we have a baraita. Haya Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir used to say, Adam over avira baseter. If somebody violates a sin in private, somebody in their own room, nobody knows what's going on, he violates a sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu machir zalav begalui. Hashem will reveal him in public. Hashem will reveal what this person does in public. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, ve'avar alav ruach kina'ah. What does it ve'avar alav ruach kina'ah mean?
A spirit of kina'ah passed over him. So, since the wife sinned, now Hashem is making it known to him, so he does kinah and it becomes known.
Very good, very good. It says ve'en av evra, I should say evra, ela lashon hachraza. When it says that it passes over, what that means is hachraza, means it will be proclaimed, it will be announced. Shneimar vaitzav Moshe ve'aviru kol b'machane. Moshe commanded, and they sounded a sound throughout the whole camp. Meaning ve'aviru can also mean a proclamation or announcement that passed through. So what do you see? You see that when a person violates a sin, even he thinks it's in his closed doors and nobody's watching, nobody knows what's going on, Kadosh Baruch Hu make sure that everyone will know. Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish says, is this Rish Lakish? Is different Girsav? Is it? Oh, okay. So look over here. Rish Lakish Amar, I want to show you guys something very cool about what I just taught you. Ein Adam Over Avera, a person will not violate a sin, Eleim Ken Nichnasbo Ruach Shtut, unless a spirit of stupidity goes inside him. Is Rish Lakish arguing with the previous opinion or not?
Yeah, it says Omer after.
Oh, so it says it after. But if you guys have Ozva Adar, there's a Girsa change over here. If you look at the Haggadah B'Tzionim, it swaps it. It says Tzarech Lomar, it should have said Amar Rish Lakish. There's a letter bet on the word Rish Lakish. You see the letter bet? Do you have it or you don't have it? Look at letter bet Haggadah B'Tzionim over here. Amar Rish Lakish. He changes it to say Amar Rish Lakish. Why? Because there's a rule. Anytime you say Rish Lakish, you say the name before, he's arguing. He is not arguing here. He has nothing to do with the previous case. The previous case said Vavar Lav Ruach Kina means that anytime a person sins in public, private, Hashem will reveal it in public. Over here he's saying that a person who sins, it's because he's a spirit of stupidity was put inside him. They have nothing to do with one another. He's not arguing. So therefore it's Amar Rish Lakish. Very good. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, how do we know it's because of a spirit of stupidity? Ish ish kitiste ishto. It says any man who his wife goes astray. Tiste means astray. A lot of times in Gemara, they'll take a word. If it's a sin, they'll replace it with a shin and make a drasha. or samech or stuff like that. So here he says tisha tektiv. Tisha. What does tisha te mean? Like a shoyte, a shota is someone who's very stupid, right? So therefore, it can replace tisate from the pasuk and say tishate, which means it's a spirit of stupidity that's causing this person to do such a sin. So if you see somebody who's sinning, it's because this spirit took over him and did something like that. Let's look at Rashi. Adam over avira, kegon isha prutza. Let's say a woman, for example, he says you have a promiscuous woman who's going and violating in private and so on. Look at that. Rashi says, what does it mean he proclaims in public? Hashem will put it into the man's mind to go and warn her. Why?
Without him knowing about it?
Without him knowing. And it will be publicized to everyone.
Huh? That's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it into the mind of the man, hey, something's going on with my wife, let me warn her. And then everyone finds out. Why? Because two edim. That's also a shayla. How would everyone find out? The answer is two edim.
So you hold like Rabbi
Yehuda. We hold like Rabbi, in the Mishnah, we hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Sorry, we hold like Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah. Mekanela Mishnayim, Mashkal Mishnayim. That's what we say. Okay, next Rashi. Ve'en Avira, or Evra, Garcinan. Rashi says Avira, Hagaod, Batsionim say Evra, whichever one you're going to go. Lashon Hachraza, it's a language of proclamation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitkaven ha'avir kol. Hashem is kavana, is to be ma'avir, is to make a sound come out. When someone sins, Hashem will bring out this matter. Or Evra is referring to proclamation. Okay, this is where we got to. Okay. Tana Devei Rabbi Ishmael was taught, the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Ishmael, they taught this now following teaching. Why does the Torah believe one witness in the case of Sota? What do you mean? What case do we believe one witness? I thought we said like Rabbi Yeshua, that you need two witnesses for both.
No, after Tumah.
Ah, very good. So there's three steps. Remember, there's warning the woman. There's going in seclusion, for the woman to go in seclusion. And there's actual violation that she does. Warning, we said you need two. Going in seclusion, we said you need two witnesses. The actual essence of seeing her do the violation, that you only need one. Okay, so how do we know that you only need one according to the Torah?
Is that physically seeing her, or just her being there long enough?
That's a good question. It's a good question. I think we would say misafek already, automatically we would view her once, I mean, on Dalet Amud Aleph, we're going to learn all of the shiurim, so it's going to be the amount of time allotted for her to do that such act that would cause the violation. Obviously, if a man, a witness actually saw the violation itself, for sure you can, you can testify. Obviously, I think that's what we're saying, that you need to have one witness who actually sees the violation in order to be able to come and, you know.
But can we still have to happen also for 2 months and need one?
Right.
So ikstira
also. Right. You need two witnesses, yeah. Okay? So the Gemara said, how do we know from the Torah? Sharaglaim ladavar, because she's suspicious. Sharei kinela venistera, he warned her, and she went in seclusion with someone. Ve'ed echad meida, she tmeah, and one witness is coming and testifying that she's tmeah. So therefore, because you have two, and she's suspicious, and so on and so forth, we believe the one witness. So, let's see Rashi. Raglaim ladavar, she nitmet. She's suspicious that maybe she did some tumah action. So the Gemara comes and asks the question. Amar le Rafapa la Abaye. Rafapa asks the question to Abaye. Veha ki ktiva kinui batar stira v'tumah u'dechtiva. When it says kinui, can someone explain this to me? What does this line mean?
In the Pesukim, the order is stira, tumah, and kinui.
Okay, very good. In what order though? Where?
In the Pesukim.
Very good. Let's bring a Chumash. You want to bring a Chumash from over there? Bring a Chumash. Let's open up a Chumash. It's going to be in Bamidbar, no?
Yeah, when we are Perek Hay, Pesukim Gimel Dal.
Let's see. That's the point.
Parashat
Naso, right? Parashat Naso, chapter 5. This is Parashat Naso, is where we find the whole Parashat Sota. Over here it says, V'shachav ish otah shichvat zera. A woman goes and sleeps with someone. V'ne'elam me'enei ishah. And it was hidden from the eyes of the man. V'nistera v'initma. And she went in seclusion. And she became tmea. So first we have seclusion. Then we have tuma. And then next pasuk. V'avar lav ruch kina v'kineh dishto. And then he warned his wife. Hold on. In the Torah, seclusion comes first, then tum'ah, and then warning in the Torah. That's how it's written in the Torah. So the Gemara says, back to the Gemara. This makes it much clearer when you learn it like that. He says, V'ha'ki k'tiva kinui batar stira v'tum'ah u'dikhtiva. Hold on. In the Torah, kinui, when it says warning, it's only written after the seclusion and after the actual tum'ah aspect. Right? Rashi says, V'ha'ki k'tiva to believe one witness. Ktiv v'nistera v'nitma v'ed ein ba usmich levavar lav alma belo kinui nami edechad mehman v'tuma. Why don't we say then, if we say seclusion and tuma come first and only warning afterwards, let's say that the woman can become asura even without a warning. Why? Because if seclusion comes first, two witnesses of seclusion, one witness comes and says she's tmeha, she's tmeha. Then warning happens after. Okay, but we don't need the warning. Right?
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, no. No way. The Gemara says, Amar lei ve'avar. Ukvar avar. Ve'avar, what does ve'avar mean? Ve'avar can have two meanings. In Hebrew, ve'avar can mean it passed and it passed. Or it will pass. It can have two meanings. V'avar lav ruach kina. So he says v'avar over here in the pasuk that this warning came upon him, this spirit came upon him. It's talking about past tense. Meaning, even though in the Torah it says seclusion first and then tuma and only warning afterwards, v'avar means he already warned. He already warned prior. He priorly warned. So therefore, he warned before the seclusion, and you need to warn before. So the Gemara says, hold on, ela me'ata. If that's so, we have a pasuk also in Bamidbar. It says, "Ve'avar lachem kol chalutz." This is when they were saying to pass the Yarden, and you're going to conquer the land. So he says, "Ve'avar lachem kol chalutz." When "avar lachem kol chalutz," what does that mean? That's talking about future tense, and you will go pass through into the land. When he says you will go pass through, but he uses the word "ve'avar" over here, "ve'avar" is future tense. We just said ve'avar means past tense. The kinui happened before. Now we're using a different pasuk showing ve'avar means future tense. Which one is it? Does ve'avar mean past tense? Or does ve'avar mean future tense? So the Gemara says, ve'avar lachem kol chalut hachiname. When we say they will pass through, is this also talking about past tense, that they already passed through? But that makes no sense. So the Gemara says, hatam, over there is different. Min dichtiv, from the pasuk, the fact, the one after it, the pasuk afterwards says, v'nichbesha ha'aretz lifnei Adonai, we will conquer the land in front of God, ve'achar tashuvu, and then we will return. So what does it sound like? V'achar tashuvu means what? And then we will return, meaning this hasn't happened yet. This is going to happen. So since there's an extra pasuk over there that shows that it's not has not happened yet, you can tell v'avar over there means future tense. But in our case, so that's why, mashma lahaba dilaba, that's why it sounds like future tense. Elahacha, but in our case, where it says v'avar alav ruach kina, there's warning passed over him. Isa kadadach kedichtivi, if you would have thought that we go based on how it's written, meaning seclusion, tum'ah, and then warning, does that make any sense? V'avar batar tum'ah u'stira. If we say avar, meaning the spirit comes into him after the seclusion and the tum'ah, kinui lamali, then why do we need warning whatsoever? What's the purpose of warning? It makes no sense. You warn someone not to do something that they will, maybe they may come to do. You don't warn someone not to do something they've already done. So how does it makes no sense why kinui would be taking place after the actual tumah action. Rather, it obviously took place before, and that's what ve'avar means. So there are times ve'avar could mean future tense, like that pasuk ve'achar tashuvu, and there's times ve'avar would mean past tense, like in our case about warning. Let's look at Rashi. Is that clear? Does that make sense?
Very good. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What if someone just is in private, there's two witnesses, there's a woman that's married and a man, and they're in private, and there's two witnesses here? And this man, her husband never had suspicion of it. And this man goes
into seclusion. If there's two witnesses that she did a violation, they come to the Beit Din and they can...
Without warning.
They put her to death. We're talking about how you can get her to do the sota waters. The way you get her to do sota waters, if there's a warning, there's seclusion, and there's one witness who comes and says she's tmeah. Now, how do we find out? We don't know. The whole idea with sota waters, this is the answer to your question. You don't know that she 100% violated. That's why we bring her up to the Beit HaMikdash, we make her drink the waters, and we see if she violated.
I thought if it's one, then she doesn't drink.
I'm saying if there's two people warning, two for seclusion, and one comes and says she's tmeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying. We believe one wins.
But one, and then she says that she doesn't drink, though. I thought. If you have two and one, she doesn't drink.
Right. If we confirm and say that she's tmeah, and it's a confirm, we accept the testimony, then we would not. She would not drink, because we would view her as she's actually tmeah. When do we actually come to drink is if there's an actual suspicion, but we don't believe that witness in that case. Like, we're going to see later on, like, if you have two witnesses, let's say, for example, that come and say she's tmeah, so how can we let her drink? There's no reason to erase Hashem's name. We know she's tmeah. We believe the two witnesses. Right? So, anyhow. But let's look at Rashi. Okay. Ve'avar lachem kol chalutz. Bivnei Gad uvnei Reuven k'tiv. It's talking about the children of Gad and Reuven, who Moshe told them that you were going to go into the land of Israel to help us conquer, and then you can go back to your homes outside. So he says, Shehaya Moshe mitzaveh otam la'avor im Yehoshua to Yarden. He was commanding them to go with Yehoshua into the Yarden. Rashi is just telling us a story in the Torah. Tashuvu mochiach de lahabahu. From the word ve'achar tashuvu, then you will return. Return means that you will return, means that hasn't happened yet. So therefore, from there, Rashi says, it's future tense. Nichnesa bo ruach, when it says a spirit will go inside you, mimarom, from upstairs. Hashem will send the spirit from upstairs to go inside you. Did I get to this yet? Or not yet?
No, sorry.
That's next. We didn't get to that yet. Okay, very clear. So let's just recap on what we learned. We spoke about machloket, what is the lashon of kinui, if we say it means warning or it means anger. And then we spoke about the two opinions of what if a person violates, what does the pasuk mean? If it goes and does a sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal it in public, or it's a spirit of stupidity. And then we got into Rabbi Ishmael, who said that, how do we know we believe one witness? Because of Raglam the Davar, she's suspicious, so on and so forth. Okay, should we continue?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay? Okay. Tana Devei Rabbi Ishmael, again. Rishmael taught. Ein adam mekaneh le'ishto elim ken nichnesa bo ruach. A person would not warn his wife unless this spirit came inside him. Shneimar the pasuk says va'avar alav ruach kina v'kineh ishto. That says a spirit came across him and he came to warn his wife. Meaning, only if something comes inside him. What kind of spirit is it talking about over here? So let's look at Rashi. Nichnesa bo ruach mimarom, from upstairs. Later it's going to explain, is it a pure or impure spirit? It's coming from the Satan, the Yetzirah, like you said, who's coming to cause him to sin and cause him to start create tension with his wife. You see?
But it's a legit ruach, though, no? Did we say that before? And the only way this ruach comes is if she doesn't. In private,
Rashi. No. We're saying that why does he come to warn his wife? Because a spirit came inside him, like a Yetzer Hara came inside him and told him to warn his wife.
We don't hold like that, though.
What do you mean? What do you hold like that? It's not a halakha.
He's not saying, he's not like explaining that to Satan, right?
What do you mean?
He's just explaining what
it means. He's explaining what it means. He's explaining this is what it means. So, if you think about it, this is how the Yetzirah works. A person thinks that only when you're single is the Yetzirah. Only at this point is the Yetzirah. If I get married, there's always the Yetzirah. And actually, the more you grow, the stronger the Yetzirah becomes. The Gemara Masechet Sukkah. Has it learned Sukkah? No? Daf Nun Bet. Daf Nun Bet. The Gemara over there says, the more a person grows, the stronger the Yetzirah becomes. You would think the stronger you become, the more you can control the Yetzirah. But no. The stronger you become, the stronger the Yetzirah becomes.
I feel like that's different, though. You think your Yetzirah is stronger than mine? Like,
yes, Adai. Different Yetzirah.
Yeah.
Rav Chaim's Yetzirah, Rav Chaim's Yetzirah was different. Rav Adi's Yetzirah was different than ours, but it's stronger. Meaning, when you get greater, this is the way I understand it, your responsibility in this world is much more important. And therefore, your small little mistake has much more effect on the rest of the world than someone smaller than you. So that means that your Yetzirah may not be the same as your Yetzirah.
Your Yetzirah is a lot worse, though. I don't know.
A strong person has more to lose and has more discipline towards that.
He definitely has more discipline. That's why he's stronger. But how do you explain the Peshat Everyone is greater than his friend, his yetzerah is greater than his. I think the idea over there is, the greater you are, the greater you become, the more responsibility is put onto your plate in Shamayim. And therefore, even a makes small sense. Little mistake that you make has a lot of effect on the world.
Like Moshe.
Exactly. Kechut Asara, right? The Gemara says, we're going to learn this later on, but you know that. The Gemara says in Masachet Sota, that they judge Moshe, Kechut Asara, like a hair strand. He made one little mistake, he didn't get to go in the land of Israel. So, Yetzara. That's Yetzara. So every person, now everybody's Yetzara is different. Moshe's Yetzara was one little tip of anger, that's it, he lost it. Maybe for people today, Yetzara is girls. It's not that you think one's worse than the other because you don't know in the upper realms what's worse. We don't see what's worse. You think a guy who's breaking Shabbat is worse than X, Y, and Z. We have no idea though at the end of the day. We don't know what's worse. We know what's worse in actual physical punishment because we know what the Beit Din would punish them. But in the upper realms, we don't know how Hashem looks at it. When someone makes a chilul Hashem, what it does. So that's what he's saying. He's saying each person, the Yetzirah comes inside them. And even when they get married, and he tries to get him to be tense with his wife. So the Gemara says, back to the Gemara says, my ruach, what does it mean, a spirit? Machloket, Rabbanan amri ruach tumah. The Rabbanan says an impure spirit. Rav Ashi amar ruach taora. Rav Ashi says a pure spirit. You see again, Amar comes after the name. Amar comes after the name, he's arguing. So it's machloket if it's an impure spirit or a pure spirit. What does it mean, impure or pure spirit? What does that mean?
One is out of anger, and one
what
is
does it mean? What does it mean to have a pure spirit?
Meaning, like, pure, against pitzu.
Good reason.
Huh?
Rashi says against pitzu. Like against
pitzu. Okay, so what does that mean? So that means, very good. That means, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Rabbanan, Devei Rav Ashi, Amri Ruach Tumah. They say Ruach Tumah. Ruach Taora, Shesone Ta Pritzut. You hate pritzus.
What if someone loves it?
Oh. Zero. That's the kavana. What is ruach tuma? Very good. If you found out what ruach tahara is, and you said it's someone who hates pritzut, what's the ruach tuma?
Someone that likes
loves pritzut. Very good.
Someone who likes
beautiful. Someone who loves pritzut. The ruach tuma. That's ruach tuma. Exactly. Beautiful. Very good. Exactly. Okay, umistabra the Gemara says keman damar ruach taora. It makes sense that ruach over here means a pure spirit. Why? The Tanya Zabraita says v'kine et ishto. When we say he warns his wife, we're gonna have a machlokin right now. If the warning of one's wife is that optional or obligatory? So the Gemara says Rabbi Ishmael. Kinet ishto reshut. It's optional. Divrei Rabbi Ishmael. That's according to Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Is he agreeing or disagreeing? Disagreeing. How do you know? Oh, very good. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Chova. He says no. It's obligation to warn. So the Gemara says Iyamart Bishlama. If you say it makes sense, Ruach Tahora Shapir. If you say it's talking about a pure spirit, that makes sense. According to Rabbi Akiva, he says an obligation to warn. Because a pure spirit came inside him and he hates pritzut and he sees his wife is doing things that are parutz, that are promiscuous. So that's he has a pure spirit, he wants to warn. But if you say it's an impure spirit, Rishut vechova le'ayule le'inish ruach tumah benafshei? How can you say, have a discussion of optional or obligatory for someone to instill inside a person, le'ayule le'inish, to put inside him ruach tumah benafshei? A spirit of impurity. How does that make any sense? How can you say you have an according to Rabbi Akiva, for example, you have an obligation to warn. So you have an obligation to warn. If I say that warning, ruach, means an impure spirit, how can I say that you have an obligation to instill inside you an impure spirit?
Wait, what was the impure spirit again?
We said, va'avar lav ruach kin'ah. This spirit came upon you. What kind of spirit? Machloket.
Yeah.
One said pure spirit, one said impure spirit. We're saying now, we have a machloket, if warning is. So that means when you come to warn, a spirit came inside you. You put a spirit inside you. So hold on. If you're putting a spirit inside you, if it's a pure spirit, I understand why you have to warn. Because you're putting this pure spirit to go against pritzut.
Yeah.
If it's an impure spirit, how can Hashem require us an obligation to put an impure spirit inside you to warn your wife? If it's an impure spirit. You chab? Or you don't chab?
If, so why would you put an impure spirit?
Why would you put an impure spirit inside you? If we say ruach means impure. Yeah. Impure spirit. And you have to warn. That means you are taking this impure spirit, you're putting inside you to warn.
The impure spirit's yourself though. Isn't it like someone that's like angry.
It is, and they're doing it for the wrong reasons. God, and putting it into your mind to warn.
Okay, you can say that with any other thing.
And yeah, I don't know what impure spirit is.
Well, it's your gate to heart, you're saying, basically.
An impure spirit is when a person is not... It's a good question over here. I think the idea is, in general, is that is it whenever we say that something came upon him? He had a thought came upon him to warn.
Like a feeling.
Was that a good feeling or a bad feeling? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? If we say it's a good spirit, a good thing, it makes sense why you must warn, according to Rabbi Akiva. If we say it's a bad thing, why would Hashem put a bad thing inside him, requiring him to warn? It doesn't make any sense. You're asking of him to warn, and you're saying it's a bad spirit? That doesn't make any sense. Why would you put a bad... You can't put a bad spirit in someone requiring him to warn. That doesn't make any sense. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Mistabra, makes sense. Kiman damar ruach, the ruach de kamar Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Ishmael was saying tahorai. It's talking about a pure spirit. The Tanya, his bride that says, de kamar Rabbi Ishmael reshut, he says optional. Plukta de Rabbi Ishmael Rabbi Akiva. It's machloket le kamar first time. Later on, we're going to explain the reasoning, meaning right after this. It goes to the reason of Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva. It's going to explain their reasoning. We're going to see a bunch of different clauses after this that are important. But that's the machloket. Shapir makes sense according to saying it's tahora, irashut ichova, if you say it's optional to warn, or it's obligatory. Ah, Rabbi Akiva omer chova. Rabbi Akiva says obligatory. That's the next part of the Gemara. Okay, so what is Rashi saying? Rashi is telling us that if you say, or the Gemara is saying, if you say that it's an obligation, you have an option, of, it's a difference between a machloket of obligation or optional to warn. If you say it's a ruach tum'ah, it's an impure spirit, how can you put an impure spirit inside someone? So it's really a question on reshut v'chova la'eule le'inish ruach tum'ah min hafshe. How can you say, Hashem, you're asking, is it optional or required to warn? You're taking that impure spirit and putting inside me in order to warn. That makes no sense. Mashma, it must be that it's talking about a pure spirit.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it has to be a pure spirit, because otherwise, why would Hashem put an impure spirit inside you that you must warn? Okay. We start this next sugya. It's going to already jump into a much longer sugya. So I think maybe we'll stop there for today. Okay, just a quick 1 minute recap. We started out by talking about the case of Rish Lakish. Machloket, what is the Lashon of Kinui? What is the Machloket? Two different opinions. What does Kinui mean?
Anger, warning.
Okay, and what's the difference between them? If you say it's anger, then we hold like the Tana that says... Asur to warn. If we say it's a warning, then we hold like the Tana that says it's mutar to warn. Then we got to the second part, which is the Braita Rabbi Meir. We said, Machloket, what the Pasuk means when it says, Vavar labruch kina. First opinion, it says he goes and sins in private. Hashem publicizes it in public. Second opinion, it says no. He's not necessarily disagreeing. He's saying if a person violates a sin, it means that the spirit of his stupidity came upon him. And then, finally, we got up to the discussion of how do we know from the Torah we believe one witness. We said it because of suspicion. He warned her in seclusion and so on and so forth. And last part of the daf was we said from Rabbi Ishmael that a person would not warn his wife unless a spirit came inside him. What kind of spirit? So we had a machloket, either a pure spirit or impure spirit. What was a pure spirit?
A pure spirit is someone that hates pritsut.
Oh, very good. He hates pritsut. So why is he warning his wife?
Because he's scared that his wife is acting immodest with other
people. Very good, very good. Oh, so but there's another opinion that says ruach tumah. And then we had a machloket, Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Akiva. We say warning is optional or obligatory. And we ended by saying it makes sense that it must be talking about ruach tahora, because how can you require, how can you say we're instilling this impure spirit inside someone, requiring him, or saying it's either optional or obligatory for him to warn? It makes no sense for it to be ruach tumah. Ela must be that it's a pure spirit. Amen. Amen.